Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
God will love you regardless of what you do. Your badness will not change your new born-again nature any more than your goodness would change your sinful nature.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm nearing the end of my fourth week of teaching through the book of Romans. I'm going verse by verse, and I'm now down to Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. So I've had nearly 20 programs on this, and I've only gotten into the middle of the sixth chapter. But I tell you, this has been powerful. These are the truths that have totally changed my life. I had an experience with the Lord where I saw His glory and He showed me His love, and I mean, it was a life-transforming experience. And I don't know how to say this. I don't have the words to explain it, but the experience wouldn't have lasted me 53 years. That's how long it's been since I had that encounter with the Lord. The thing that has sustained me are these truths. Emotion, experience can only take you so far. Truth is what's going to set you free. And there's a lot of people watching this program right now that you would love to have a touch from the Lord. You would love to have an experience, but you don't want to get in and spend the time and the effort of studying the Word and doing the things that you need to do to renew your mind. And the Scripture says in Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Your life is going the direction of your dominant thought. If your life isn't going in the direction you want it to, what you need to do is not pray for God to touch you, ask for God to do something external. What you need is to renew your mind and discover what you've already got. Change the way you think, and that will change the way that you act and the experiences that you get. Boy, those are powerful, powerful truths. And I've got this brand new book entitled Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. And it's got the actual text of Romans in it, and then it's got my digital commentary. I've been doing a digital or a computer-based commentary for decades now, and I have over 25,000 verses out of the 31,000 verses in the Bible that I've written commentary on. And it's called a living commentary because I'm still writing it. I wrote some just last night. And every time you go to our website and log on, you will automatically get updated with the newest footnotes. And I'll go in and I'll sometimes add to or change a little bit in a footnote. So it's a living commentary. As long as I'm alive, it's going to still be growing and improving. So we've got that living commentary, the Romans section in this book, and all together, I guarantee you, it's just a life-transforming thing to get the revelation here in Romans. So what I taught on this week is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. It brings up this question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And of course, the answer is God forbid. Verse 2, no, that's not what we're doing. Why? Well, basically, verse 2 through 15 is saying the reason you don't live in sin is because your nature is changed. You don't have a sinful, demonic nature on the inside of you when you get born again. God takes out that sinful nature and He gives you a brand new nature. I've been dealing with that for 3 days, and I know that this is contrary to the popular belief that we have a new nature and a sinful nature coexisting at the same time, and whichever one we feed the most wins. That's not true. Your sinful nature is gone, and the only reason that you still have this propensity for sin is because you haven't changed your software. The hardware has been changed, your nature is changed, but it will continue to function the way it was programmed until you change your software, talking about the renewing of your mind. Man, that's awesome. You know, let me share these scriptures with you. I'm trying to go on, but this will make that same point that I've been making the last few days. Over here in 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And look at this in verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Every man. This leaves no exception. If you truly understand 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, that the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, and when you see Him, you will be like Him because you have been born again and you have that promise that someday you'll cash in this corruptible body for an incorruptible body. If that is a reality on the inside of you, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Any person who would take the things that I've been saying about God doesn't deal with us based on our performance, instead, it's based on what Jesus did, and we just receive right standing with God through faith in Jesus, not through your performance. Any person that would take that truth and use it to say, man, this is great, I can go live in sin, then based on 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, you don't have this hope in Him. You haven't been truly changed, because if you were, you would purify yourself, even as He is pure. Now, you may not be doing a good job of living a holy life, because if you're under religion, and some of the things I'm going to be saying here today, the law will actually make sin come alive on the inside of you. It actually makes you lust for the very thing that's forbidden. And so not every Christian lives a holy life. But if you truly are born again, you desire to live a holy life. You may not be fulfilling that desire because of religious traditions that are hindering you, but if you are truly born again, you want to live for God. Any person who would take the things I'm saying about grace and say, man, this is wonderful, I can go live in sin, you ought to get born again. Your heart's not changed. This is what he's saying in Romans chapter 6. The reason you don't live in sin is because your heart's changed. You don't want to live in sin. You want to live for God. There may be some of you who are truly born again, and you know that you are, and yet you still find yourself sinning over and over and over. But if you would be honest, it's different than before you were born again. Because before you were born again, you may have known it was wrong, you may have felt some conviction about it, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Now that you are born again, now that God has changed your heart, when you go out and do some of those same things, it just hurts. You don't want to do it. You may not know enough of the truth to be set free from some of those habits and sins that Satan has bound you with, but now you hate it, whereas before you might have disliked it, but now you hate it. If you're truly born again, your want to has been changed. Maybe your performance hasn't been changed because that takes a renewing of your mind and understanding some things. But if you're truly born again, your heart has been changed. That's what Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 15 is talking about. And then in let me go back to verse 15 because he repeats this same question that he started with in verse 1. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Again, the answer is God forbid. And here's the second reason that you don't go live in sin. Verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So what this is saying is, when you go live in sin, if you are born again, if your nature is changed, and you wind up yielding to sin, then you have yielded to the author of that sin, who is Satan. And you give Satan direct inroad into your life. This doesn't mean that you lose your salvation. It just means that you gave Satan authority in your life. You know, say for instance that you're born again, your nature has been changed, your spirit is now as Jesus is, 1 John 4:17. But you go out here and you just pig out and you eat and you abuse your body, you don't ever get up off of the couch and stuff like this, you are giving Satan inroad into your physical body to afflict you with physical things. You can do the same thing emotionally. You can sit there and listen to the bad news, the false report, the propaganda that is being put out. And I guarantee you, it says it'll discourage you. It says in Philippians chapter 4, think on things that are honest and pure and lovely and just and of good report. If there's virtue, if there's praise, think on these things. I guarantee you that is not the news today. The news is just reporting bad stuff. Even if you could get a conservative news broadcast, it's still going to report all of the bad stuff from just a conservative perspective. But it's not things that are honest and lovely and pure and just and of good report, things that have virtue and praise. No, it's just bad news. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you go do those things and listen to the devil's crowd put forth all of this pollution. If you let the sewage of the world just flow through you, you're going to be depressed. You give Satan inroad into your life. So that's another reason that you don't live in sin. The first reason it gave is because your nature has changed. You don't want to live in sin. You don't want to let sin have dominion over you. But the second reason he gives is because if you yield to Satan and his lust and the things that he tries to entice you, if you yield to anger and unforgiveness and bitterness and worry and care and all of these kind of things, then Satan has access to you. Whoever you yield yourself to, you give them control over you. Again, this does not mean that you lose your salvation, because every one of us at some time or another has slipped and we have not done the things that we should, and Satan has taken advantage of it. And I'm still saved. You're still saved if you truly made Jesus your Lord, but you just gave Satan an inroad into your life. So how do you deal with that? That's what 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is all about. It says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to confess our sins in the sense of getting born again. You only do that one time. We talked about that earlier in this chapter, that Jesus died unto sin once. You only get born again one time. But when you found that you have given Satan inroad into your life, you repent of that. That word in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, you confess your sins. That word confess means to agree, to say the same thing. In other words, here was God saying, you go in this direction. And you thought, no, I think I'm going to go in this direction. So you lean under your own understanding. You do it your way. You get into problems. All of a sudden, Satan is having mastery over you. What you do is say, God, you were right. I am agreeing with you. I'm saying the same thing. You were right. I'm wrong. I confess that this was sin. And when you do that, the forgiveness that you already had in your spirit that never lost its right standing with God, then this forgiveness and the power and the authority of God that's in your spirit will come out into the flesh, and it will break that inroad that you gave Satan in your life. But you just go ahead and continue to yield yourself to sin over and over and over and over. You're yielding yourself to Satan, and he only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10. So if you are out there just obeying the devil and doing what the devil wants you to do, disregarding the instructions of God, and if you are truly born again, that's a big if. There's a lot of people that are out living in sin because their heart has never been changed. But if your heart has been changed and if you are born again, but if you still go live in sin, you are just giving Satan a free shot at you. And the Bible says that he's an enemy. He's like a roaring lion. He goes about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is trying to destroy your life, and you can't just give him a free shot at you without it costing you something. You know, the Scripture talks about that we're supposed to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God forgave us. And I think that's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. That's a command. We're supposed to forgive. In the Lord's Prayer, He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are commanded to forgive. And yet, there are people who are born-again Christians, and for whatever reason, they just cannot let go of something that's happened to them. And so they are holding on to their hurt and to their offense, and they are not forgiving. And by doing that, they are giving Satan direct inroad into their life to cause physical problems. You know, I was in Lima, Ohio one time. This has been probably 40 years ago. It's been a long time ago. And I prayed with a woman who was on a walker, and she had arthritis so badly that she was crippled. And it took her probably 10 minutes to walk 10 or 15 feet and come up there to get prayer. And so I talked to her for just a moment, and then I prayed for her, and I said, I believe you're healed. I command all of this pain to leave. And this woman took her walker and put it over her head like this, and she started walking around. And she was an older lady. I mean, I was young back 40 years ago, so she may not have been as old as I think, but I suspect she was 60 or 70 or something like that. And yet she was walking around like a young girl, and she was totally free. The next night she came back, and she was on that walker again. And she told me, she says, by the time I got to my car, all of that pain was back. And she says, I've been worse today than I was before. What's wrong? And you know what I did? Based on this verse, that Satan has to have our consent and cooperation to bring things into our life. I said, when I prayed for you, the power of God hit you and you did things that you couldn't do. So it's evident that God's healing power is there, but it must be something systemic. What that means is it's like a plant, that you could cut a plant off at ground level, but it'll grow back if you leave the roots there. The root of whatever it was, however it was that Satan gained access to you to cause this arthritis, somehow or another that root is still there, and that's the reason that the problem came back. And so I said, let's just pray and ask God what the problem is. So we started to pray, and I mean within just seconds, the Lord showed me that this woman had unforgiveness, and it wasn't a mild form of unforgiveness, it was hatred. She hated somebody with a passion. And so I just stopped and I told her, I said, God shows me you've got unforgiveness, that you have never forgiven somebody. You hate them for what they've done to you. And this woman started crying and she told me the situation. And like I said, this has been probably 40 years ago. At that time, she might have been 60 years old or 70. And when she was a young girl, she fell in love with this guy and they were going to be married, and he pressured her to have sex before marriage, saying, well, we're going to be married, so it'll be okay. And so she consented. They had sex. She got pregnant. And when he found out that she was pregnant, he bailed and he left her. And this woman had never been married. This is back before abortion was even legalized. This woman went ahead and had the child and lived single for whatever it was, 50 years or whatever it was. And she had never forgiven this man. She hated him. He ruined her life. And she just was in bitterness over it. So as soon as I brought that up, she knew exactly who I was talking about. She confessed all of this to me. And I said, you need to forgive him. And so she prayed. And she just said, I forgive him. I let it go. And then I said, now see, you have shut this door on the devil. You had given place. This is that root that caused that thing to come back, because you had yielded yourself to the devil. But by confessing it as sin, saying the same thing with the Lord about forgiveness, now you have taken away Satan's legal claim to put sickness in your body. And I said, now you can be healed. And I said, I'll pray for you. And she said, no need. And she just put the walker up over her head and walked out totally free. And I was there another few nights, I forget, two or three nights, and she came back and she'd been totally healed and it didn't come back on her. So see what I'm saying? When you get born again, God is a spirit and He sees you in the spirit. And He is not going to change His opinion about you based on your actions, because the action that He counts is whether or not you put faith in Jesus. If you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then He sees you forgiven. And in the Spirit, you're as holy and pure as Jesus is. But if you yield your body through sin to the devil, such as this woman I just talked about who had unforgiveness, or it could be that you're out drinking, that you're out doping, that you're having illicit sexual things, that you're doing pornography, or there could be a multitude of things. God doesn't change His attitude or His love towards you because of what you do. God loves you, period. There's nothing you can do that'll make Him love you more There's nothing you can do that'll make Him love you less. God loves you because He is love and not because you are lovely. But if you go live in sin, you give Satan access to you with sickness, with poverty, with depression, with discouragement, with anger, with bitterness. Satan is bringing all of these things to steal, kill, and to destroy. And I can guarantee you, you just cannot go out here and yield yourself to sin and prosper. God will still love you. You could take this teaching that I'm giving and you could say, well, man, God loves me not based on my performance. So I think I'm going to go rob a bank. Why work? I'm just going to go rob a bank. And you could say, He'll still love me. And you know what? If you are truly born again, He will still love you. And the whole time you're sitting in your prison cell, rotting away for 20 years, if you will receive it and if you will get your mind past the physical and into the spiritual and thinking about God and relating to Him spirit to spirit, you could just have a wonderful time in your prison cell for the next 20 years. But there will be consequences in the natural. And this is what I'm saying. God loves you because of who you are in the Spirit, because you've been born again. But does that mean that we can just go live any way we want to in the flesh? Well, it means that God won't quit loving you, but you will quit loving God if you just expose yourself to nothing but trash and the negativity and the bad things that this world has to do. It'll hurt you. And it could hurt other people, and you could wind up having consequences of it that could cost you money, that could cost you health, that could cost you relationships, and on and on. You aren't going to prosper, but God will love you the same. Living holy does not change God's attitude towards you, nor does living unholy change His attitude towards you. But living holy will change your attitude towards God, and it will change your attitude towards other people. Holiness doesn't change God's heart towards you, but it'll change your heart towards God. And you need to live holy. So see, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Why don't we live in sin? Number one, it's because your nature is changed. Your want to has been changed. You are no longer a child of the devil. You're a child of God, and you should be reflecting it in your actions. Number two, you don't want Satan to gain access to you and have free reign to come and steal, kill, and to destroy into your life. And so you live holy as a defense against the devil. I could even add to this that you live holy as a testimony to the Lord. You know, I could name you some people who are famous preachers who fell into sin, and you know what? God still loves them, and they're still in ministry. But boy, they have lost the confidence of people. And today, their ministry is just a shadow of what it used to be. So a third reason that you should live holy is so that you can be respected and honored by other people, so that your reputation won't be sullied and you won't sully the reputation of God by being a bad witness. Man, we're out of time today, but I've got all of these things in this book, Romans, Paul's masterpiece on grace. This is a great new book, first time we've ever offered it. We also have some DVDs with people's testimonies in it, and we've got the teaching that I did on this on DVD or CD. Listen to our announcer as he gives you the instructions about how you can receive these products.
Andrew is pleased to announce the release of his brand new hardback book titled Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. This brand new book includes all of Andrew's personal study notes and commentary on the book of Romans, compiled from Andrew's Life for Today Study Bible and Living Commentary. This valuable resource is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, is also available in a CD or DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each of these valuable resources are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today, you heard Andrew's personal revelation on the book of Romans. You can study through the entire Bible with Andrew when you get his continually updated living commentary. This extraordinary resource contains his personal study notes, footnotes, and commentary on over 25,000 Bible verses. Andrew has priced this valuable study tool at only $120. Go to awmi.net to download yours today. Also today, Andrew's offering the Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs as his free gift to you when you write or call. This special offer is a $50 value, absolutely free when you contact us today. Or you can get each of these valuable resources as part of the Romans package. This package includes Andrew's Living Commentary, as well as the Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, hardback book, your choice of either the CD or DVD album, and Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs. This incredible package has a catalog value of $275, but you can receive all of these valuable resources today for just $197. We want to say a special thank you to the Grace Partners of Andrew Womack Ministries. Your gifts make it possible to put free ministry materials into the hands of many people in need. If you're not already a Grace Partner, we ask you to pray about becoming one today. You can become a Grace Partner or order resources through our website at awmi.net. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. You can also order resources or receive prayer by calling our helpline at 719-635-1111. Our helpline is open Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, and Saturday and Sunday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Healing is always the will of God for everyone.
Always.
Man, this has been powerful today. We've already seen hundreds and maybe 1,000 healed.
They are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. That's kingdom culture.
I'm not hopeless, helpless, and powerless. I mean, I can take back what the enemy has stolen. I can take back my position.
I heard the Lord tell me that he was so excited about healing you that he just couldn't wait.
Experience the transformative power of praise and worship with Standing from Charis Worship. Standing will build you up and remind you of the power you have when you stand in God's love. Available as a CD, this album features 10 tracks that will keep your mind focused on God. Go to awmi.net to get your copy today.
I would like to encourage you to check out our social media, all of these different platforms. We've got a lot of good news to share, so check it out, our social media for Andrew Womack Ministries.
Do you want to connect with like-minded believers? Then Charis Bible Studies is the place for you. Find a Bible study near you by visiting charisbiblestudies.net.